Mishaburz, Simeshim and Tez, Sif Hey, Mishaburz of Katan Yud Ches, and we'll see one or two points in the Sharat Siyun, and we'll tackle some Biure Halacha, I guess you'd call them. Biure Halachas. Okay. So he said this is also even Ben Ashmoshes. A few Ben Ashmoshes, after Lingin Pachas Meir Ba'amas, who Sveikad Rabbonon. So, Kiman who carved over the Ayat Exadli Day, Malach of the Raisa, goes to Behem Tve. Benish Moshes is a Suffolk, and some of these Yisurim over here are Yisurim Drabonon, so we should argue Benish Moshes, we know that they were not Gozer in. The Rabbanon is Ben Hashmoshes. So the Chara, Pachas Meir Ba'amos, is a Din Rabbanon, so we should be Mekel. Because that's Rebbe Shita, that they were not Gozer on Shusim Ben Hashmoshes. But they already, the Mishabur and Shimon Beis pointed out that it's not all Shusim, any Shusim which is corrupt to the right, so they were Gozer even Ben Hashmoshes. I feel a bit Carmelis. So now that's clearly a Drabonon. So what's shot in that? At time, the Nekel was there, Karbadarba, Shelach Abrahamas, Bibasachas. The going from Pachas Abrahamas, the going to full Amas of Abrahamas is very close. And once Chazal asked Abrahamas in the Carmelis, this is going to go with that Isser as well. Here, Grog, Kasabatam, the Choldarba, Shasu, Bishasarab, Mishmashus, within Shasu, Bikarmelis. They made a Carmelis in order to protect Rosh Hashanah, but they gave it all the chumras of Rosh Hashanah. People, Ben Hashmoshes Gam Kain. So you're in a Carmelis, Ben Hashmoshes, you want to go Pachas Meir Ba'amas. The Habitatel Tivus, so that's a Taz, we rabba the Hakal Bazet. Achafim of war, Leba Simon Shimon Beis, Loitir Shuz Ben Hashmoshes, Kim Mitzarek Mitzvah, Mokam Atchak, Eshel Hakal Nami, and Hakal El Kukonzen. So if there's some need, you could be Semech Lekula, but otherwise you shouldn't be Semech. Okay. Now take a look over here in the Sharat Siyun. So the discussion which I told you that Menashe Klein deals with, said Mishabur over here touches on that over here in Sivkat Yud Ches. So we define that the Gemara says that an Amidah Lefush is considered that it interrupts the your act of transporting, and Amidah Lekatev does not interrupt.
I'm sorry, what, how do you translate Lekatev?
To adjust it on your shoulders. Your person's Katev is his shoulder. Okay. Renias Daiti, the second line. Near Bora the Lakuli Alma Minatara Mikri Amido, Fili Imloy Omad Lafush, Behadio Rak, Bishul Ezasiba Shimano Lelich. Even there's some reason why you're forced to pause, but it wasn't the Amida for Nefisha. Okay. Kiman Shal Omad Lasak and Derek Maso. But if he, as long as he did not stop to adjust his burden, any other type of amida is considered amida. The rak oz chashav kimahalach. The word being mechadish over here, that even though he's pausing, it's like he's walking. So the only time you can say that a person who's pausing is like he's walking is when he's the whole purpose of the pause is just to facilitate the walking further, i.e., to adjust it. Okay? If ever comes up, mash omad begemora omad lefush hulav dafka, and says that he has to pause to rest, that case is lav dafka. The main thing is Rakel Fuge Shel Omad Lasakin. The main point is it wasn't an Amida for the purpose of Lekatev to fix up his burden. Okay. So here we have because the issue which they grappled with over there is that pausing in order just not to be over the issue of carrying is not really an Amida Lefush. So maybe that's not good enough. So Mishabur is saying that no, that is good enough, because, and that's why they said that Mishabur over there brought it, preferably a person should put the item down because of that shita. Here Mishabur is saying, but as far as he personally is concerned, even though he's kashya for that shita over there, as far as he's personally concerned, any pausing, even the pause, just in order not to be considered as if he's walking, That's also called pausing. The only time that's not called pausing is when he does an amida lakate. It means a right from a Gemara and Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. And he brings a raya, he brings a raya like this. Let's take a look at the rayas. The Mefarish Dibri Rabbein Yeruchim Lo Mikri Linyan. The raya sign shom comes at Doichek Sas. In other words, it could be this Rabbein Yeruchim, which he's quoting, agrees with me. Out of the raya level, I'm right. But the Rabbanon, they wanted more. The Menole, the Rabbi Yeruchim Lachadish said the Mokim Shetiru Pachas Ochim Zal Ram is who dafka be yeshiva. So the Rabbi Yeruchim says you should sit down, put the item down, sit down. It'd be the same thing. But the point is, you just standing still is not sufficient. Where'd that come from? If it's the right thing, then fine. But I just brought you two Gemaras. He says that prove that that's not true. So Tarsi means the Rabbanon, but there's no Gemara which says that you need there's such a requirement. So I don't know.
Was to put the item down or to sit
right fine therefore the marshal according to Mishnah Berurah it's very clear that if a person would pause for a red light that's a halachically equivalent to pausing for resting and it's considered halacha. Okay. Okay. Now let's see the Siman Shin Nun. Okay.
You are about to want to do them also?
Yeah, I'm looking at them. I don't think we have to do them. Okay. So we said you can move something which is a rabbim less than dollar amps. So the average scenario, the person standing in which is a rabbim, moving the item near him. What about if he's like in Rosh Hashanah and there's an opening which reaches out to Rosh Hashanah and he wants to put his hand outside and move the item outside, not bring it inside, but move it there from one place to the other with less than dollar dollars. So we differentiate like this. That something which he might need inside, we're afraid he's going to actually forget and bring it inside. But something which he has no need to bring inside. He wants it out, leave it outside. Yeah, I don't know, he might even need it outside. If he just wants to move it from place A to place B with an alaramas, so that's mutter. Obviously he can't move it, shouldn't move it alaramas. And we're not worried about that he might bring it inside, which obviously is a problem. We're not worried about that because we're talking about items that he has no need for to have them inside. So I have a fence, and right behind the fence there's the door of the house, and I want to reach inside over the fence or through the fence, take the key which is found there, and stick it in the door and open the door. I don't need to have the key with me out in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. I want to leave it there in the Rosh Hashanah inside of the his chatzar. Right. So, if it's close enough that I can reach inside and pick it up and then put it inside the door and unlock the door, so what's my goal to bring it outside? So there, that's mutter. Now, obviously, to take the key from inside, reach over, bring the key outside, and bring it outside and unlock the door there, he took something from Shosh Yachad to Shosh Rab. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the opening something from the inside, not from the outside. The way you open it from the inside. So there's no need to bring it outside. There's no kashash to bring it outside towards it. And vice versa, you would have the same thing. Okay, now, Avalo Yamir Rosh Hashanah. So what about the following idea? The person wants to stand in Rosh Hashanah, and there is a well outside, so he wants to men outside and drink outside. He'll take the cup, which is found over there, dip it into the well, and drink. Well, there's a good chance he might decide to bring the water inside to him, because he could use the water inside. That's something which a person might want to do. So in that situation, the only case that's going to be mutter is we have some type of a reminder not to bring it inside. So how do we? What's the reminder? If he puts his head and the majority of his body out to where he's drinking, if the scenario that the water is outside, he'd have to lean out the majority of his body, or vice versa, the water is inside, he'd have to lean in the majority of his body. So that itself, that's like not a normal position. That'll act as a reminder not to carry it from rishus to rishus. The because if we don't do that, we're afraid the person might bring the water to where he is, which would be problematic because he's transferring it from one rishos to the other. This is the gzeirah d'rabbanan only makes sense when you're dealing with derisas. If he's in Rosh Hashanah next to the Carmelis and there's water in the Carmelis, he wants to lean out and drink it over there, even without Rosh Hashanah, because even if he does bring it in, he's only doing the Rabbanah. Say where it goes.
Moist is different than the previous case we had. You know, carrying something within the Carmelis. Once we shoot a Carmelis like Rosh Hashanah, then it carries the dinam over, which we sort of said.
We treat a Karma is like Rosh Hashanah in regards to the loch of Dalai Lama, Rosh Hashanah. In regards to transferring from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis versus Rosh Hashanah, there actually are other kulas besides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the rule. The logic behind it, I can't really, you know, why we split it like that, I'm not sure, but that's the rule. That which you say it's something which is tzrichim loy, it's only an exer which A, it's something which you might want to use inside, and it's something, you know, it's aesthetically pleasing and it's valuable, so that might be, he might be inclined to pull it inside. Some argue that that's, we're not afraid of him bringing the cup inside. If the cup's not such a chashuv a cup, so he'll leave the cup outside. So he has no gezeira that he might bring the water inside with the cup. By drinking, you bring it to your mouth. And then the next thing you know, you might bring your mouth back in and bring an item which is outside. There's no reason to bring it inside, so there's no gezeira. So it's only items that you're drinking from, and something which is worthwhile enough that you might want to bring the keli inside because you want to protect the keli. So that's this opinion.
Items that you drink.
Forgive me for asking what may be a stupid question, but if you're in a Rishus HaRabim, or let's say you're drinking in a Rishus HaRabim, why is it not changing? You're taking the water, let's say, that you're drinking from a Rishus HaRabim and putting it in your mouth. That's also changing a Rishus, is it not?
So
why would that be mutter?
So it's a good question. It's not a good question. It's a good question. Tosfos asks the kasha. So the there's two arguments. One is that we look at a person's mouth like a makom patur, because it's not dalet al dalet. So, and his body's inside and his head is outside. So the same way we said when his hand's outside, it's like a makom patur. So his body's outside, like a makom patur also, or part of his body. So it went from, really what it did was it went from the rishus harabim to the makom patur to his body, the rest of the body which is inside. One argument. Or alternatively, once it's inside of the person's body, it's not called transporting it anymore. So since his mouth is outside, once he swallows, it's like considered it became bottled to the body. So it's not like you transported the water from one trishus to the other. You transported the water and you magically made it disappear into your body. So that's not called a hanochos.
Okay, so hold on. If you're saying that my hand is a makom patur, if I hold anything, well, now the thing, whatever it is in my hand, which is a makom patur, so why is that any different?
because the nature of hands is that you might pull it back inside of inside.
But it's in a makom patur?
No. So that's what we discussed this already before. It's not a makom patur, it's a pater. If I take something from Shasa Rabbim and I pick it up and I bring it inside, once I went through a makom patur, went through my hand was busy bringing it from here to here. Over here, it went into your mouth and it stops because you have to swallow it. So by definition, you will have that pause. That the swallowing is considered that it paused. By hands, it's very, very, very possible you will not pause.
But,
and then if you did not pause, you're in trouble. Because then you carry something from Shasa Rabbim to Rosh HaSoyochet. And we're going to give you skila. So we don't want you doing that. But by drinking, that's impossible because there always is a pause.
But again, if I'm, we already talked about the idea that if I'm standing stationary, all right, so my hand is in, let's say I haven't transferred from one rishus to another rishus yet, right? My hand is a makom patur.
No. The standing stationary when one rishus, your hand is not a makom patur. Your hand, is, no. A hand is a makom patur when it's in a different rishus from yours, not when it's in the same rishus as yours.
Okay. If let's say I'm in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, all right, I stick my hand into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, so now my hand is a Makom Patur. I grab an item, which is now in a Makom Patur, hand.
No, the item is on the ground. You grab an item and you bring it inside. It's not called a Makom Patur. If the item would pause in your hand, that would be, i.e., put it in the hand, that it should stay there. Now it's talking in the middle of nowhere. But picking it up and bringing it inside is not called a Makom Patur.
So hold on. So you're saying, let's say I'll use this book, right? I'm in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I reach into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I grab the book. I pick it up. I pause.
Theoretically, that's
it. Theoretically,
that case would not be chayv. Correct.
That would be okay?
I didn't say it's okay.
I mean, well,
because that's very nice, but you might not pause, and then you're going to give you skila. So it's not a good idea to pause, relying on the pause, because if you don't pause, you can bet Brendan in the Gehenna. So, but by drinking, by definition, you always pause. That's what I'm saying. The hands, it's not guaranteed you're going to pause. By drinking, you always pause because the act of swallowing is considered a pause.
And how long does the pause have to be for? For the amount of time it takes you to swallow? That's not a very long pause.
Correct. That's true.
What's true? That it's not a long pause?
I don't think it's a question of the time. It's a question of the nature of the pause. It's a significant act. Put it in your mouth and you have to swallow it down. That's a clear, distinct, separate act.
Okay.
Right? But the hand, I hesitated for a second. I don't know what that counts. I'm not sure that counts.
So how long?
I'm not going to measure the. I don't know what the shear is. The idea is that you were conveying, that's its makom. I don't think that the fact that you hesitated for a second. Is significant. For a person with a sign, you know what? It's a good idea to let this thing hang out here for a little while. Why? I want it to be out there. Okay, maybe. Maybe that would work. I don't know. I wouldn't advise it.
Look,
let's hold it here.
The whole thing is obviously, you're better off if you're not, if you have a